Welcome to the Cove's audio articles, where you can listen to some of the Cove's best articles rather than read them. This article was written by Sergeant Gavin Wilson, is titled Electronic Warfare from the Victim's Perspective, and is read by the author. During this article, I'm going to talk about the following subjects. What do electronic warfare units actually do? Russian electronic warfare examples, other nations' electronic warfare, tactical considerations, personal communication systems in its various forms, social media, and conclusion. So, what do electronic warfare units do? Put simply, electronic warfare units' primary mission is the interception, collection, location, and identification of enemy units and formations. Analysis of the enemy activity on the electromagnetic spectrum can enable a commander to discover the enemy's order of battle, likely priority of effort, intentions, and morale. This information can support the commander in his planning. Once enemy frequencies are identified, a commander is able to employ electronic attack, also known as jamming, to degrade or deny the enemy communications at a time of the commander's choosing. This is normally part of a suite of offensive effects a commander will use. However, particularly during counterinsurgency operations, early operational phases, or when non-lethal effects are more desirable, electronic attack may be used in isolation to achieve an effect on the enemy. Russian examples. In July 2014, a Ukrainian mechanized infantry battalion suddenly lost all communications. Moments later, it came under a precision massed artillery barrage. It was reported that within 15 minutes, over 80% of the battalion's vehicles had been destroyed or damaged. Precise casualties were not reported. However, the use of dual-headed artillery rounds was. Media reports suggested approximately 80% of the unit were casualties. Even if this is an exaggeration, one can assume the battalion was combat ineffective after this attack. The Organisation for Security and Cooperation in Europe, known as OSCE, exists to observe and report on military structure, equipment and conflicts. Since direct Russian involvement in the Ukraine was confirmed, they've attempted to monitor that conflict. However, they have experienced significant difficulties in doing so. This is because when they come close to Russian units, they frequently find their mobile phones lose signal. Further, effects to observe Russian army units by UAV have also proved problematic because on approach to Russian locations, the UAVs lose their control signal, most likely due to Russian jamming. UAVs are programmed that in the event they do lose their control signal, they return to base. Despite Russian denials, it is clear these are both actions conducted by Russian electronic warfare elements to prevent OSCE observation of Russian units and activities. Russian electronic warfare elements have conducted information warfare by sending messages to individual Ukrainian soldiers by text to their personal mobile phones. As you can imagine, this was very disconcerting for the soldiers who received the message. This has since been further refined by sending soldiers' families SMS messages informing the family their son has been killed in action, prompting them to call the Ukrainian Defense Ministry and then adding further friction to the Ukrainian chain of command. Other nation electronic warfare capabilities. In May 2018, Aviation Weekly reported Iran had given various terror organizations the tools to hack controls of UAVs from their operators. Iran had earlier in 2011 done exactly that to hijack an American drone. In 2017, China released an F-18 Growler equivalent on a Sukhoi 30 airframe and a larger aircraft, the Y-8 Shaanxi, with various electronic warfare capabilities, including electronic attack. Chinese electronic warfare weapons include jamming equipment against multiple communication and radar systems and GPS satellite systems. Electronic warfare systems are also being deployed with other sea and air-based platforms intended for both offensive and defensive operations. All this demonstrates China has adopted the same approach as Russia in seeking to nullify Western nations' technological advances and has attempted to gain a tactical and strategic superiority in the electronic warfare domain, in order to the same in more traditional domains of air, land and sea. Tactical considerations. In terms of tactical communications, the reality broadly is that if it transmits, it can be located. And if it can be located, it can be degraded or destroyed. HF, although the smallest tactical frequency range between 2 and 30 MHz, is the most complex to search. The communication systems active in this frequency range go from local through regional to national, international and intercontinental communications. Therefore, it can be very difficult to find your target. Is the transmission you're listening to actually your enemy or a civilian from the other side of the world? Additionally, HF is very difficult to accurately locate stations. The advent of software-defined radios has reduced this to an extent. However, these radios bring their own complications in terms of interception and collection. Most recently, automated collection systems have begun to be used that are able to quickly identify and classify digital signals, especially data signals. However, overall, HF remains very difficult to accurately locate transmissions, so it's likely to remain, relatively speaking, the safest part of the spectrum to use. Therefore, use of it should be made whenever this is possible. Modern electronic warfare equipment can intercept and direction find single channel radios in the VHF and UHF ranges relatively easily and quickly. HF, VHF and UHF are all vulnerable to electronic attack, commonly referred to as jamming. Nets like BMS can be detected. Whilst direction finding of these nets is possible, it is more difficult, given so many stations are simultaneously active. In addition, the higher number of nodes active, the more difficult it is to jam the net. It is possible, however, to isolate some individual nodes, and this might form part of an enemy commander's plan for tactical actions. Tactical considerations. Electronic warfare countermeasures, otherwise known as electronic protection. Whilst it is not always possible, terrain shielding is a very effective way of reducing your electromagnetic spectrum profile and should be used whenever possible. Terrain shielding, effective with all frequency ranges, is particularly effective with HF, where a terrain shielded ground wave is very, very difficult for the enemy to even detect. This makes it a viable counter-electronic warfare technique for observation posts and reconnaissance elements. Routines. These should be avoided. A routine makes the enemy electronic warfare task simpler. So instead of sending scheduled transmissions on the quarter hour every second hour, move a transmission around 10 minutes every time. The point here is to disguise your patterns, meaning the enemy has to work harder to find you. As previously discussed, HF is a challenging target set. Using it will, at the very least, make enemy EW work a lot harder, and it's quite likely to significantly reduce your own profile. Directional antenna. Although it's not always tactically feasible, use of directional antenna has two primary advantages. It increases the range of your radio, and it makes detecting your transmissions more difficult for enemy electronic warfare. For example, forward elements such as observation posts or reconnaissance may be able to make use of directional HF antenna, which would significantly lower their spectrum signature and make their detection much more challenging for enemy EW. Brevity. Very simply, the less time you transmit, the smaller a target you present to enemy EW. Frequency changes. The longer you stay on one frequency, the more locational information and other intelligence enemy electronic warfare will gain. Changing frequencies takes them back to square one of them to search for and attempt to identify what signals they do find. Use of encryption. Use encryption always. Nothing gives electronic warfare operators more intelligence than unencrypted communications. Do not drop encryption, even if you experience communications problems. Interference jamming is designed to attempt to persuade you that your fills are corrupt and to move into unencrypted speech. SINGARs. In the Ukraine conflict, SINGARs has proven remarkably resistant to Russian jamming. Near Vertical Incident Skywave, or NVIS. This is an HF propagation technique with ranges between 50 to 650 kilometers on frequencies between 1.8 to 8 megahertz. This makes it possible for communications between frontline units and headquarter rear echelon. From the perspective of lowering your spectrum signature, this has another distinct advantage. Due to the nature of the propagation, it cannot be DF'd or located. Due to the fact satellite channels are often full and these are also vulnerable to enemy offensive effects, NVIS offers a practical long-range alternate to satellite channels. Burst data. Use of burst data for things such as sitreps and main demps is a much more efficient way of communicating. This frees nets up for tactical purposes and significantly reduces your call sign's profile. Soldier personal radio. The SPR effective range is short, with a maximum range of approximately 800 meters in open ground. Although these radios have no encryption, they are designed to be low probability of intercept and are effective in this respect. Testing suggests that they can only be intercepted within 1500 to 1600 metres. This is exceptionally close for an electronic warfare detachment to be, and it's highly unlikely that mounted electronic warfare assets would deliberately be deployed against SPRs. Even dismounted electronic warfare assets would be reluctant or unfortunate to be so close to their enemy frontline combat units. It is appreciated that the techniques described above are not always practical in the tactical space. However, they should be used whenever they are practical. Using combinations of the above techniques will increase your protection, i.e. use of burst data on HF with directional antenna and terrain shielding would be highly effective in reducing, if not eliminating, your signature from enemy electronic warfare. Countermeasures and training. If enemy electronic attack is successful in preventing your communications, the following countermeasures will prevent your plan from falling apart. Most important, prepare for the possibility in the first place. This includes the need to rehearse all the countermeasures you are considering. In part, this is to confirm they will work in the first place. It's also to help identify problems that need addressing and remedying. And finally, so that all parties are familiar with the drills they are to follow in the event of successful enemy EA action. Runners. For short distance, this may be a viable strategy to either reduce your spectrum signature or restore some level of communication if enemy electronic attack is preventing you accessing the spectrum. Distance versus timeliness is the key consideration. Dispatch riders. For longer journeys to the rear, you will need people and motorcycles who are trained ahead of time with this, and they will need to be familiar with the routes and the alternative routes available to them. Line communication. This requires considerable preparation. Whenever possible, cables should be dug in. The time spent doing so will be repaid when it is not damaged by artillery fire, thus negating the need to repair it. Well understood orders issued prior to comms blackout. These will, ideally, provide local commanders with the resources and authority to continue operations in support of the senior commander's intent, and should include clear direction on what the precedence and priority of communications are in the event of losing spectrum access. GPS loss. Rehearsing the use of systems without GPS is essential. This will take quite a lot of time. Operators need to adjust manually establishing networks. This is a far more mandrolic process than the automated one. Equally, a generation of soldiers has become conditioned to navigating with GPS. Navigation activities without GPS aids will be required to remediate this. Operational security, personal devices. Your mobile phone or other communication devices, tablets, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, will give your location away. Don't imagine turning Google Maps off will stop this. It simply means that instead of your location being known down to a few metres, it may be done down to 500 metres or less. The newer the technology you use, the smaller the area your location can be narrowed down to. A 3G phone can be located to within 100 metres of the phone itself. 4G and 5G will be smaller still. Mobile phones within Australia. As is now well known, it is possible to detect and track mobile phones and other communication devices. The Telecommunications Intercept Act prohibits interference on the Australian telephone network. The Intelligence Services Act controls intelligence being collected on parties known or suspected to be Australian or from any other Five Eyes nation. This can take place, but only with the authorisation of senior figures like the Attorney General or Minister of Defence. As you can imagine, these parties will not likely give such authority. Mobile phones overseas. Many Western nations have similar legislation to that in Australia. However, that is not the case in most other jurisdictions. Governments, especially in non-Western and non-democratic nations, do not respect their citizens' privacy and care even less for that of foreigners. They expect access to telecommunication networks on request, and it's unwise of companies in those countries to deny or delay such requests. Consequently, all communication devices you carry are highly vulnerable to intercept by foreign intelligence services when travelling outside of Western nations. Detection of them is quite simple, as they are identifiably foreign devices when outside of Australia. Overseas mobile phone incidents. In January 2018, the Canadian Broadcasting Company reported that roughly 4,000 NATO troops in the Baltic states had been targeted through their mobile phones, including Canadian soldiers. Precisely what form the activity took was not revealed. However, it is reasonable to assume that Russian intelligence and or military units were attempting various forms of electronic warfare and cyber campaign. Shortly after this, a Lieutenant Colonel Hero of the US Army reported he had found someone trying to access his iPhone Apple account. A trace was initiated and identified the location of the hacker as originating in Moscow. Russian authorities denied the charges. GPS. In comparison to HF, VHF and UHF signals, GPS signals are relatively weak. This makes them quite simple to jam. The majority of new communication systems are highly dependent on GPS signals for synchronization purposes. Whilst it is true America is aware of this and searching for solutions, the reality is this is an area of Russian electronic effect where the reports are true. And there are multiple open source reports of American UAVs and aircraft being affected adversely by Russian GPS jamming. GPS jamming countermeasures. Some digital communication systems which use GPS for synchronization can be used without the GPS. However, this is not commonly practiced. It's a relatively cumbersome technique to employ and should be practiced by soldiers so they are proficient in the technique to be able to fall back on without experiencing a significant degradation in communications. Testing has demonstrated that shielding GPS-reliant devices from GPS jamming can reduce or even prevent GPS jamming being effective. Terrain, building, or even vehicles may be sufficient to shield devices from GPS jamming, especially smaller devices such as portable radios or navigation aids. It may be the case that shielding is either not possible or ineffective due to the power of GPS jam being employed. Therefore, subunits and soldiers should practice navigation and communications without GPS. Wi-Fi. All modern smartphones have a Wi-Fi capability on board. The range of Wi-Fi is relatively short, usually measured at under 100 meters. This does reduce your profile. However, once your device is connected to an access point, it can be interrogated and subsequently may be tracked. This significantly increases your profile. If turned on, the Wi-Fi function of your phone continually sends out probes looking for access points. It will automatically connect the nearest Wi-Fi connection it can find unless you set up controls. Your device keeps a history of all the access points you have previously used. This allows third parties to track where you've been if they gain access to your device. You can delete older unwanted access points in your Wi-Fi settings. This does not eliminate your Wi-Fi history entirely, but it does make finding that a lot more difficult. The most recent smartphones use rolling MAC addresses when sending probes. This hides your device identity. However, your device will always use your genuine address when connecting to an access point. This allows third party to identify your device and potentially you. Virtual private networks. VPNs allow private users to access internet services more securely. It prevents unauthorized users to see the VPN users' traffic in clear. VPNs provide users with a high level of security, and a standard feature of most VPNs is the user's location can be hidden. This allows the users to access websites they cannot in their home locations and prevents anyone looking from identifying the location of the user. However, use of VPN does not prevent users being detected. Use of a VPN will not provide security if the device being used is itself compromised, i.e. if a third party has placed malicious software on the user's mobile phone, or if the Wi-Fi hotspot has been set up as a honeypot for malicious purposes, such as planting malicious software. Social media. Social media is now used by billions of people. Unfortunately, this does not allow you to hide. Social media is a huge source of intelligence for every self-respecting government and intelligence and military agency. Western governments, corporations and militaries have all experienced social media posts that are embarrassing or compromising at some level of security. During Exercise Hamel 2016, a social media survey team was set up to monitor social media posts during the exercise. The team only analysed public posts, but these were very revealing. Over 900 breaches of security occurred during the exercise. Breaches included a unit posting on its Facebook page geotagged photographs of members preparing to commence a move onto an enemy target 2 hours before they did so. On operations, such a breach might lead the enemy knowing in advance not just that you intend to attack them, but where you were. If they didn't just use artillery against your now compromised location, they would have time to prepare defences at locations most likely to be attacked from the now compromised location. Officers were amongst those who conducted such breaches. In most instances, these breaches stemmed from a lack of understanding of the vulnerability of social media in the first place. Social media breaches overseas. US patrols in Afghanistan were using GPS watches to assist their patrolling. Unknown to the patrols, the service they were using was an open source social media platform, which could be viewed by anyone. Suffice it to say, on discovering this, patrols stopped logging their patrols via that GPS service. Russia. Russian denials of military involvement of the 2014 invasion of Crimea and eastern Ukraine were disproved after several Russian soldiers put posts on the Russian Facebook equivalent. These included geotags, which placed the soldiers and their platforms well inside Ukraine national borders. Conclusion. Uncontested access to the electromagnetic spectrum can no longer be guaranteed. The opposite is the case. It is quite possible access will be interrupted and unreliable. If you transmit, you are vulnerable to enemy electronic warfare elements. Whenever practical, you should reduce your spectrum profile by methods such as changing frequencies, often use of burst data and encryption, use of directional antenna and or terrain shielding where possible, use of HF, combinations of the above. Your personal communication systems, be they phones, modems or tablets, are vulnerable. Turning off the phone GPS simply means the enemy can only locate you down to 100 meters or less. The best way to protect yourself is to not take a device in the first place. If you do, ensure wireless and phone services are turned off. Thanks for listening to this audio article by The Cove. Don't forget to download The Cove app. It's PME in your pocket, anywhere, anytime.